Okay. This week is Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Zohar, the second of the Dal Parshios. I'm going to, I think, focus on Parshas Zohar, and then just one very brief thing from Vayikra that I think is relevant, and that's really to be found in the title. How do we forget that Hashem is in our midst? And how did the Pietzner, right, the Ish Kodesh, how did he not forget, in spite of the horrible circumstances that he found himself in during World War II, including the Warsaw Ghetto, and eventually his murder by the Nazis in Czarniki or someplace down in that area of southern Poland, or near Lublin. Let's take a look. The story of Amalek attacking Bnei Yisrael, we know, is in the end of Parshas Beshalach, and that kriya will be done on Purim day itself, and the kriya of Parshas Zohar is from Parshas Kisetse, and then we'll read that this Shabbos. So let's take a look at the Pesukim first in Beshalach. Not all of them, but just a few of them, just to get the picture. It says, Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mivasin l'masehem al pi Hashem v'yachnu b'refidim v'yachanu b'refidim v'yin mayim lishtos ha'am. There was no water available there. Whether they actually had water, just there was no springs of water there, that's a discussion. The Ramban seems to say that there were no springs, so they didn't see any water available to them, even though they may still have had water. Vayirav ha'am in Moshe, and Vayirav ha'am in Moshe, and the am, is that referring to the Erev Rav? A possibility. They argued with Moshe. Vayomru tun lanomayim v'nishte. Vayomru lehem Moshe matrivuni madim matinasun es Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, why are you, as it were, starting an argument with me? Why are you testing Hashem? Like Hashem makom basam riva al riv bnei Yisrael al nusasam es Hashem lemor hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imayim. So the question is Hashem in their midst or not? Right? That's their nisoyin. As nasasam es Hashem. Lemor, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. Is Hashem in our midst? Is Hashem in our midst? Vayavu Amalek, and as a result, immediately they're attacked by Amalek. Vayavu Amalek, vaylachem im Yisrael berefidim. We know the war takes place. Yehoshua is sent to battle against them. Moshe Rabbeinu rises to the top of the mount, raises his hand towards Shemayim, etc. And finally, at the closure of Parshas Beshalach, Vayomer Hashem Moshek Sovzol Zikaron Basefer Sim Bozne Yehoshua Kimacho Emche Ezechem Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim. Hashem says that He will destroy, He will erase the Zechem Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim. By even Moshe Mizbeach, they crush Mo Hashem Nisi. Moshe Rabbeinu built a Mizbeach, he called it Hashem Nisi, even though it looked like a standard war. Right, but he's declaring that it's Hashem's intervention that it aided Yehoshua to weaken the Amalekim. Vayomer ki yad al keis kol milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, and that's how it ends. The hand, right? The question is, what is that hand referring to? We've probably discussed this before. I'm sure many times before. Rashi says the yad of Hashem is raised up to swear that his kisei is not shalem. Note the word case is here. It's not as opposed to kisei. And the Shem Yudke Vavke, it's only Ka, as opposed to Yudke Vavke. Ki Yad Al Keis Ka, Ein Akisi Shalom, Ein Hashem Shalom, until Yimachesh Mo Shalom Molech, Zecha Shalom Molech, Milchama Lashem Bamolech, Midor Dor. Right? That's the rendition in a concise version, of what takes place in Parshas Beshalach. Once again, we're not reading that this Shabbos. That will read on Purim morning. This week, in Parsha Zohar, so here's the commandment to us to remember to destroy Amalek, to remember that which he did to us. Zohar Tashir Ashach Amalek B'derech Hotzeischem Mitzrayim. Remember that which Amalek did to us when we were on our derech leaving Mitzrayim. Asher Kochah B'derech. Vayizanam B'chol Kol Anecha Shalim Acharecha V'Ta'ayev V'Yageh V'Lo Yarei Elokim. The many different Berushim to the Pesukim. Who's the Lo Yarei Elokim? Is the Amalek Lo Yarei Elokim? Chas V'Chalir, are we not Yarei Elokim? We are weak, we are tired. Why are we weak and tired? It's because we're on the road, because we haven't drunk, or perhaps we are not, as we're applying ourselves to Torah, and we've grown weak of the toil of Torah. And this is also a discussion amongst different Mefarshim. Asher korcha baderech, they attacked us baderech mikre, or is it a lashon of keri? Or is it a lashon of krirus, of cold? Right? All discussed in the Mefarshim, different approaches. We're going to try and pick and choose a few that we think will be useful for us in our discussion this evening. Fine. Says the Ksav Sofer. We're going to go back actually to the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach. We're going to go back to the Man, just for a moment. Ksav Sofer says that the Man, he points out, I'm going to synopsize it because there's no reason to make this unnecessarily long so that everybody can focus. The Ksav Sofer talks about the beginning of the Parsha, and there Bnei Yisrael received the Slav, right? They received the birds in the evening, and they received the Man in the morning. When they received the Slav, so they were told, this will remind you, this way you'll know that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. And in the morning, when they receive the Man, you will see the Kvod Hashem, the glory of Hashem. That's the way to describe those two things that they received beginning of Parshas, of Parshas B'Shalach. Says the Ksav Sofer, the idea of the Slav showing that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim is as follows. They all received the Slav equally. They all received the Slav equally. And this reminds them that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim. In other words, just as they saw the Makos, they saw the Eser Makos, they saw the deliverance of the Jewish people, from Mitzrayim as a klal, as a group, the Jewish people as a whole. So that being the case, to see that once again that everybody receives the Slav is indeed a remembrance, right? Reminds them of what took place in Mitzrayim. Unlike the Man was not a collective in that sense, but rather very individually oriented. It was an experience, and he says the Ksav Sofer, that's why they called it Man, because one person picked it up and said, wow, this is prime rib. The next person said, wow, this is smoked salmon. The third person said, wow, this is froyo. The fourth person said, oh, it's unflavored tofu, my favorite. Sorry. And everybody says, well, what is it? Manu, what is it? And here they realized, says the Ksav Sofer, and that's why the Kvod Hashem is seen here. The greatest Kvod of Hashem is we see that Hashem deals with every individual. You saw the Hashkacha Pratis, not just for the Klal, not just for the general Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, but for every individual. Everybody got exactly what they were looking for. That's an amazing experience. I mean, Hashem is in touch with your Kishkes, literally. And that's the true Kvod Shemayim. The Makom Shatza Motzech, as Chazal says, as the Ksav Sofer quotes, the place where you see Hashem's humility, in other words, he's dealing with every individual, nothing is too small for him, because it's all his. There's nothing too small, because obviously, right, only for somebody who has a size, so something's either big or small, but for Boshel, he is the objective reality. So, there you really see Gdulaso. You see his greatness. So anyway, the Jewish people were zochet to receive the Man. The Man showed that Hashem was being mashgiach upon them in an incredibly intense and very personally oriented fashion. The Man, in addition, we see here a small paragraph here from the Pritzadik, from Tzadik HaKoyim. V'negetanas panasa yuridas haman. He's talking in the context of many different lessons that Bnei Yisrael learned in, here in Parshas Bashalach, but anybody speaks about the idea here about the Aridus Haman, Sheher Lahem Hashem Yisbarach, Shehizmin Lahem Parnasasam. Here's your food. Here is your food. I'm taking care of you. Vatzinsenes, we know that they put Haman in a container, and that was meant to be kept along with the Aron, right? Along with the Aron. And as we know, that Yirmiyah, years later, brought out the man, Her Lahem Yirmiyah, Shenema, Re'u Dvar Hashem, Avoseichem She'asku B'Torah Ro, B'man Isparnasu. This little container of man, the man remained there as it was a commemoration of the fact that Yirmiyah says they were Osek in Torah and Hashem supplied their needs. Habitachon. Again, I'm not pontificating here. Like I've said more than once, I'm speaking to myself. And in the case of Zoom, since I see myself on the computer screens, it's much easier to say I'm actually speaking to myself. Hi, how are you? Okay. Roba memen isparnasu af atem im tasku b'torah kodesh baruch yifanesem faneschem mi ze. That was what Yirmiyah said to the Jewish people. Don't be so caught up in your parnasa. Hashem will take care. Again, so for us, we do our hishtadlos, etc., but the idea being that one shouldn't get carried away with one's hishtadlos. One is meant to do the right amount, not too little, not too much, etc. Afatem yimtaasku b'torah, kodesh baruch yifanaschem mizeh. Ki aneis v'yiridas haman la'olam la'oskim b'torah. Those who involve themselves in Torah, so they're zoche, as it were, to be receive their panasa in the fashion of the man. Okay, this is certainly in the case of in the desert. This is a very idyllic state, but we can learn from it also. We shouldn't bite off, no pun intended, too much, more than we can chew, and certainly not less than we can chew. We do the right amount of hishtadlos so that we'll not worry. Mitzad echad, mitzad sheni, not so much that we could have managed with less, right, unless we don't have a problem believing. Okay. Fine. Continues Rashi, right? It's an amazing thing. Vayavo Amalek. Samach parsha zul mikra ze lomar, tamir ani beinechem. In other words, right after they said, Ayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin, is Hashem in our midst or not? Bang! Comes Amalek. Says Rashi, "Savach Pashazul Mikrazel Lomar, Tamin Ani Beinechem. I'm always there in your midst. Umezum lechol tzachechem. I'm there for all your needs. V'atem Omri Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu. And you're asking, you're saying, you're declaring, Hashem in our midst. You're wondering, is He in our midst? In your midst? Im Ein Chayechem. Right? What he calls Shakelav Bavin Oshachesem. And here's the where Rashi brings the mashal of a young boy who's on his perched upon his father's shoulders. And every once in a while he says to his father, can you pick that up for me? And the father picks up and gives it to him. Can you pick that up for me? The father picks up and gives it to him. Can you pick that up for me? The father bends down and picks it up for him. Wow, unbelievable. Then they're passing by somebody else's street. The young boy says to the passerby, tell me, have you seen my father? Who's carrying you? Excuse me. Who's carrying you? Who picked up all the stuff for you? He tosses him off. Comes along a dog, Fido, and takes a bite. That's a Malik. It's stupefying. What do you mean? Yesh Hashem b'kibenu? Well, they have a problem with short-term memory? They got the man. Listen to what the Panim Yafos told us before. Right? They just got the man. The man was tailor-made, each individual. You couldn't do better. Prime rib, right? Smoked salmon, froyo, and unflavored tofu. What's the story? So once again, the Panim Yafos says, on Refidim, it says, Vayachanu b'Refidim, Lahavin, al pi ma sha'omru chazal, lama nekor shmo Refidim, why is this place called Refidim? Sherofu yedeim batorah. They were no longer actively involved in the Torah. They weakened. They weren't so diligent about it. What did that mean at this point? I mean, they still hadn't received the Torah, but they'd already been to Mara. They received certain things. They received, you know, Paraduma, perhaps, Kibra Ve'im, some Limud Torah, whatever they received. But Va'avd Ein Mikriyot Midei Pshuto. Mikomakom, Elu Ve'elu, Divrilikim Chaim. And as the idea being that the Rafi Yudim in a Torah, the Torah is called Mayim, Shebishvil shenimnu min haTorah shenikras mayim nimnehem shifas mayim. So the Panim Yafos, it was a midah keneged midah. Because they weren't involved in Torah, which is called mayim. Right? Mayim chayim. Because of that, Hashem deprived them of their physical water. Okay. We're dumbfounded. We're absolutely dumbfounded. Because again, they just received the man not that long ago. And the man was tailor-made. Right? The man told them by example. Now, Bitachon Hashem, he's supplying your every very tailor-made personal needs. Habitachon, learn Hashem's Torah. Grow, rise, march to the beat of a different drummer than the rest of the world. And all of a sudden here, they get weak in Torah. Hashem deprives them of the water. But how could I have the audacity to say, is Hashem, Mayesh Hashem b'kibeni mayin? Is Hashem in our midst? Goodness gracious. Says the Hamek Dover. Once again, you're in Parshas Bishlach. Hayesh Hashem b'kibayim ayim. Hadover pele. It's stupefying. Ech nistapku achrei roam. Amud eish. Oh, that's spelled incorrectly. Amud eish v'anan v'or har benisim. Goodness gracious. V'amud eish the anan. The man, the way he was described from the Panim Yafos. The Kulam Yadid La'avid El Kuchabricho, who else did it come from? Warren Buffett? Because bro was supplying them. The Gam Kvar Ksiva, Yamin of Hashem Moshe Avdol. Akriyas Yamsuf, Yamin Hashem Moshe Avdol. Really, what's the story here? I mean, do we really have a severe issue of short-term collective memory? Adon Yesh Al Zeh Shnei Ofanim Tzodkim. Says the Hamek Dover. Chada sheyodu heitev shekeis Hashem holech imam va'osen nisim. Of course they were Hashem's doing for the nisim. They weren't deaf, dumb, and blind. They didn't have short-term lapses of memory. Lapses of short-term memory. I will call ze einu ela ba'od Moshe chai v'kayam. Ah, says the Netziv. They're thinking to themselves, it's all miraculous. It's all miraculous. You know why it's miraculous? Because of Moshe. Moshe's not going to live forever. Is Hashem there for us? Is Hashem b'kiveinu inside of us? Even the fact that we received the man with the flavors each one wanted, it, maybe it's just in the merit of Moshe. But for us, as individuals, he's not going to be for us. He's not going to be there for us. We're chopped liver. And once Moshe is gone, our proverbial gooses are cooked. Then Tziv says, so that's their concern. So I have an interesting intersection of things here. In other words, their lack of faith is in Hashem's closeness to them, even without the incredible intermediary called Moshe Rabbeinu. And at the same time, we know that what brought about the coming of Amalek also is Rafi Yodei Min HaTorah. Rifyon Min HaTorah. And that could be Tachon, that Hashem was there to take care of their personal needs, even when there would be no Moshe there to guide them, to lead them, to connect them to the Creator. It says the Pitzadak. Now let's talk about Amalek. Hainuz Amalek, Ashorish Mikol Atumos, Ki Humekara Leva Oda Mechamimus Mirotza Lasot Betorah Vavoda, Boshneem Rasha Korcha Shivshircha Veitznincha Mirotiach. Says Reb Tzadok, point out the Midah Keneged Midah. The Midah Keneged Midah, they were not learning Torah, Rafi Yodim in our Torah. They began to disbelieve that Hashem would be there, not because he's incapable, but without the intermediary of Moshe, they're not worthy. Why are they not worthy? Why do they feel that worthy? Why do they feel disconnected? Because they're not learning Torah. And in order to maintain this balance, this sense of closeness, one has to project oneself onto this other plane, the plane of Torah. When a person is marching to the beat of the Torah, he's learning Torah, he's involving himself in Torah, he has actually a greater capacity to be poteach. It's interesting. It's actually the flip side of what we say in Birchos Kriya Shema. We see in Birchos Kriya Shema, Bavura v'sinu shebatachu v'cha v'tlamedeim chukichayim. That's what we see in Birchos Kriya Shema. Bavura v'sinu shebatachu v'cha v'tlamedeim chukichayim. In the merit of our forefathers, having faith in you, placing their faith in you, placing their bitachon in you, relying upon you, v'tlamedeim chukichayim, you taught them the ways of life. The Siach Yitzchak says in the Siddur Agra that the idea is that why would Hashem teach them the Torah? Because they believed they were so much about Hashem that Hashem has their best interests in mind. They were boteach in Him. We have difficulty being mekabel the Torah because we have our own agendas. So we think what our agendas come into conflict with Hashem's agendas. So Hashem doesn't love us. He doesn't have our best interests in mind. Because after all, the central, the focus of our worldview is our agenda. But we have to learn that Hashem's agenda for us is actually better than the one we have for ourselves. So there in the Siach Yitzchak on the Birchos Kriya Shema, Bavur Avos Enosh Shabatachu V'cha, V'tlamedeim Chukichayim, because the Avos believed that everything Hashem did for them was to their advantage, was for their betterment, was because He loved them. Maybe He could teach them Chukichayim, He could teach them the ways of the Torah. Here we have it the other way around. If one, as it were, accustoms oneself to learning Torah, he has an easier job. It's an easier job of being boteach by Hashem. One feeds on the other. So now, we saw from Ratzadok that Amalek asher korcha baderech, they cooled us down, mida keneged mida. In other words, we abandoned it before, Rafu Yadayim in HaTorah, but then they cool us down even more, because our punishment is really, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The way you rise is the way you get Siyata Deshmaya. As you struggle to rise, you receive Siyata Deshmaya. And as you sink into the morass of confusion, then Hashem sends, unfortunately, more reasons for you to be confused. So Amalek, as it were, contributes to being the karer us, because we already were kar, right? We were already kar, and they further are makarer us, attacking us, showing that we're not invincible, right? Causing us to lose faith in ourselves even more than we had before. We lapse in Torah. They come to cool us down even more. V'derech she'adam rotzeh leches molichen oso. Direction the person wishes to go, Hashem leads him. Bein Latov, leading the other direction. Abalatame, right? Abalatayr, the sign or so. Abalatame, poskimo. And if you want to do the right thing, Hashem actually aids you. If you want to do the wrong thing, Hashem will open the door for you. It's not going to aid you, but it will open the door for you and enable you to do it. Says the Hamikdavar. Again, we mentioned before the Perush of Rashi and Kiyad al Keska, that the Yad of Hashem is raised up in an oath, right? That Ein Hakisei Shalom Vein Hashem Shalom. That's what says Kase and it says Ka, and Hakisei Shalom Vein Hashem Shalom Achi Yimachas Shmo Shalom Olek. But the Hamikdavar brings from a psikta, brings from the Medrash, that the Yad that's being referred to. Once again, this is in Parshas Beshalach. The Yad Kiyad al Keska. The Yad is the Yad of Amalek. And Amalek is a marshal. In the marshal is like a disgusting individual who, when the king wishes to address the people, to connect to the people, this disgusting individual raises up his hand, holds up a screen in front of the face of the king. You don't see the king. The king doesn't see you. That is Amalek's attack. And that's what the Netziv talks about. We've talked about it many times before. He covers the Vav-Kei of Hashem's name. Kiyon al kais ka, he covers the yud ke, which kilu detaches or removes or covers over the vav ke. What do I mean? It says in the Tziv, we know the Gemara tells us on the pasuk bitru b'Hashem adiad ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim. So Chazal teaches in the Gemara Menachos that you should place your trust in Hashem. Why? Ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim. For Hashem created the world with the shem yud ke. And there the Chazal explain. They say the olam haba is created with yos yud. Why? Because the tzaddikim who are there in comparison to all those who've walked the face of the earth, time immemorium, are few in number, just like the yud is small. And their head is bent in humility. The yud's head is bent, and so too, Klal Yisrael, those who are in Olam Haba, they stand in humility before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the nature of Olam Haba. Few compared to all those who walk the face of the earth, and they stand there in a state of humility before their Creator. Being misaneg al Hashem, deriving delight from their connection to Hashem. The hay is the os that's associated with creation of Olam Hazeh. The hay, Chazal say, is like an achsadra putza, like an open portico, an entranceway to a house. You've got a wall in the back, a wall on one side, a wall on the other side, and the bottom is open, the entranceway is open. And so to the hay. The hay, if a person chooses, right, in this world, he can see himself as bounded, most sides, by Hashem's will, to the right, to the left, to the top. Or he can look at the bottom and say, party time, and go down the bottom. Escape the boundaries, escape the system of Hashem's presence. That's the nature of Olam Hazeh. Says in the Tziv, the Vav and the Hay, the Vav and the final Hay of Hashem's name are not the osios, not the letters of creation, but the letters of Hanhaga, of Hashgacha. The Vav being Hashem's Hashgacha, Bederach, what he calls Tiferes, in a miraculous fashion. And the final Hay is the Hay of Hashem's Hashgacha, Bederach, Malchus, in a natural fashion. And that's Amalek. Amalek, he's okay. You want to believe God created the world? What power to you, booby? Right? Religion is the opening of the people. You want to believe that there's an afterlife, and we're recording there on 34th Street, miracle on 34th Street, there some angel, you know, with rather expansive wings is handing out indiscriminately candies, little for all those who pass through this world, that come to the end of the tunnel. Here it is. Here you're in heaven, right? Have a glass of candy. So, okay, fine. You want to believe that? You want to believe the first yud? You want to believe in the first hay? Okay. I mean, we don't believe in that necessarily, but it doesn't make a difference. Even we do believe in it, it doesn't steer us. It doesn't bother us. But not the vav hay. He's not writing our lives. He's not interested in our lives. He's way too big to be interested in our lives, says Amalek. Way, 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 way too interested. It's way too high to be interested in our lives. This is the attack on the conscience of the world. You don't have to live consciously. It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's the world of the Superman. It's the world of survival of the fittest. Right? Every once in a while, perhaps the Creator will remind us that he's the big boss. He'll bring a tsunami, he'll bring a volcano, he'll bring an earthquake, etc., bring a natural disaster. But he's not interested in our relationship with this world. There is no vav, there is no hay, God forbid, says Amalek. No vav, no hay. He covers over the extra screen, kiyad, his hand, his mechase, case, ka, right? The ka, the creator of this world and the next world, he doesn't see. He's not involved. God forbid. So once again, this is, right, this is an exaggeration of lack of faith in Hashem's hashgacha in terms of providing us on a personal level. Even after Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, all that we were discussing before, right? Amalek comes and says, he's not here altogether. He's not interested. As the Nazis used to say, Fluchni Juden, filthy Jews, who's thine God? Where is your God? Why isn't he saving you now? Why isn't he protecting you now? Well, like Radio Moscow used to say, yeah, if there's a God out there, so why doesn't he send a lightning bolt down to our radio station to destroy it, because after all, we don't believe in him. Why doesn't he punish us? because he can hear us. That's their derech. Be it the Nazis or be it the Russians. Filthy Jews. Filthy Jews. Where's your God? Mita keneged mita, we see him unfolding before us. We weaken in Torah, they cause us to weaken more in Torah. We weaken in Torah, it becomes difficult for us to believe that God is guiding our lives on a personal level. And so in turn, Amalek themselves makes a tickle recreation. Forget about weakening it. It's not true. It doesn't exist. He's not involved. There is no Vavhei. Finally, the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel addresses the difference in the terminology between Parshas Beshalach and Parshas Kiseitze. Mocho imche ezeich malek, and mocho timche ezeich malek. One Hashem is meant to destroy, to erase the name of Malek, and in Parshas Kiseitze, mocho timche, it's your responsibility, Jewish people. Says the Shem Yishmuel. Bezei yesh lefarish. You see this last paragraph here from the Shem Yishmuel. Yezei yesh lefarish divrei apsikta. Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu, asu es shelachem timche ezeich amalek v'ani easeh es sheli. Ki mocho emche ezeich amalek. In other words, the commandment to us in Parshas Kiseitze that we're going to read this week, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to struggle to erase him. Right? To remember what he did and struggle to erase him. And then Hashem says, I will erase him completely. The Yesh Lahavin, says the Shem Yishmuel. Demashma. Yeah, where'd it go? Demashma. Shetchil Yisrael mochin shmo, v'achak Hashem Yisbarach mocha shmo. First Yisrael is mocha shmo, and then afterwards Hashem is. V'l'v'achash Yisrael osu eshalahem u'mocha shmo b'tachas shamayim. Understand? So Hashem believe we can become the mitzvah? Right? And not only that, but the Lashon of the Medrash is, you do your part and then I'll do my part. So it means we fulfill the mitzvah. We fulfill the mitzvah, they're not there anymore. So what's Hashem going to erase? They're finished. Umalcha Shomu Yitach Shemayim V'shuv Eich Yiskayim Emche Me'achash Akvar Nimcha. The Medrash is saying, you do your job. That means we're successful. That means there isn't any more Amalek. So what is Hashem left to erase? Remember, we said that Amalek emanates from our own sfeikos, our own doubts, our own lack of involvement in Torah on a sufficient level, our own lack of toiling in Torah, which makes it difficult for us to believe that Hashem is really interested in us on a shkocha level pratis, right? Excluding where Moshe Rabbeinu was involved, so obviously he's a big tzaddik, okay, so he'll be involved with us for him, for his sake, but on our own, zero, ephes, klum. That's terrible. Achavita kenu yeshlomo dezeg koi alamachi aruchnis. Devadai limchos oso me'amoach vasechel shlo yuvalvus machshavos. The concepts of Amalek. We're not in control. We can strive to uproot them. But we have no control to make sure they don't filter back into our, right? They don't return back into our minds, into our hearts. The aseichel bahir zeinenu biyad adam. That we should have total clarity of vision without being internally befuddled. We can struggle and try for it, but we have no guarantees. Ki shchichim bilbulim al korchu shel adam shelo betovasam rak matas elokim hu zeh. It's a matana from Hashem. That's the macho emcha. Avlo odom mar chelev. A man is meant to arrange his heart. Right? And from Elohim ma'ne lashon. And then Hashem gives him the capacity to speak there in the context of learning, of some say of davening, of praying. You struggle to arrange your heart, and then Hashem gives the capacity to speak out the right words. Shriyad odom lachnia es libel hachines chushkoso. A person struggles as best as he can to repair his heart. To direct his yearning, shi'el etzad hatov. Kesha adam oses ma shalov lasos. When we try the best we can to timcha zeich amalek physically on the outside, and perhaps more importantly, spiritually on the inside. We've done what we can do. Then Hashem promises, I'll finish the job. In the end, I'll finish the job. Those that darken. Right? That's part of our job description now. We can't go around and find Amalek and kill him. He's not available for us to be able to do that necessarily. But we can prepare our hearts. We can prepare our hearts to be Moche. Right? Amalek, all that he stands for. The Krirus, the coldness, the lack of excitement and involvement in Torah, the lack of bitachon b'Hashem, that Hashem is involved in our lives. Hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu im'ayin. And then, says Hashem, v'az ani aseh sheli l'hasir z'kochos haroim ha'mevavolim z'aseichel. That's it. I'm going to take a look at a very small piece in the Eish Kodesh. The Eish Kodesh we know is written by the Pia Tessner, right? Right, what do you call it? Like, Alonis Kalmish Shapira. Right, the Pia Tessner Rav. He wrote these during the war. Many of them written in the Warsaw Ghetto. Holy fire. It was buried in what do you call it, in boxes. Buried in the ground, and after the war, right, a person dug them up, brought them to Eretz Yisrael to be printed. And this week's Parshis is a very fascinating point. It just shows how when a person tries to translate his life experience through the lens of Torah, because that's what he was doing. He dealt with some of the most difficult questions, the most difficult experiences. He asked the questions, and he deals with it through Torah, through the Parshios, through the Moadim. Exquisite, exquisite ideas. Literally, Torah, right, that he learned under the gun as the blood was flowing, as the tears were pouring out of his eyes. It says, Vayikra el Moshe, the sixth Parsha. Pirush Rashi, the Choladibros, Kadma Kriya Lashon Chiba. Rashi brings down in Vayikra that the word Vayikra is the Lashon of Chiba. Hashem calls out in love to Moshe Rabbeinu before every Kriya. Also the Lashon of Chiba, a demonstration of Hashem's love. Lashon Shemalachi Asharis Mishtam Shinbo. This is the same terminology as Rashi says that the angels use, as it says, as we say in Kedusha, V'kora Zeh El Zeh. They call to one another. In Chiba, we're all joined together, right, in sanctifying Hashem's name. We need to understand. Loving. This is not the first time that it says Vayikra. When Hashem calls to Moshe from the snare, it also says Vayikra. Hashem Vayikra Elav Elokim. V'chein b'kabbalas haTorah shekasa Vayikra Hashem l'Moshe. Why did he wait to Parshas Vayikra to tell us that Vayikra is Lashon Chiba Malachi Asharis? It's not the first time it appears in the Chumash. Fascinating question. Listen to his answer. Al Akeda Ksiv. Vayikra Chasa Ayel. He's back at the Akeda. Shem took the Ayel. Vayaleo La'ola Tachas Beno. And Avram put the Ayel in the place of Yitzchak. And Shem stopped him. Al Tishlach Yadcha Lanar. So Avram takes an aisle in place of Yitzchak. V'cheinu v'chol ha-korbanos. Adam ki yakriv mikem. If an Adam should be makriv from you, himself. V'korbanos ha-behemos boim tachas ha-ish. The korbanos really are coming in our place. We should step into the fires. But Hashem says no. Right? Let the behema. Let it take your place. Ubatainis omim shemiyot chelbi vedami ye nechshak kekorban. on a tinyus after we finish. So Zusach, we say at the end of Lakayin Tzur that the miut chelbi v'dami, the fact that I fasted this day, and my flesh, as it were, my blood, shrank, because I didn't eat, I didn't drink, should be like a korban. Achen kol yisurim, so too says the Piatesner. Achen kol yisurim imarkin avomosov shel adam mipnei shemetishin es kolchol chelbo v'damo. All the yisurim that a person suffers, what suffering he saw in the Warsaw Ghetto. It's like a korban. It lessens a person's flesh, it lessens a person's blood. His suffering is suffering. V'chol yisuri Yisrael mini korbonos heim. And all the different yisurim that Klal Yisrael undergo are korbonos. If mir chelbi v'dami, a fasting is considered like a korban, how much more so the suffering of the Jewish people. Is it also korbanos? L'chein meram is b'zeh Rashi. Therefore Rashi decided to wait till Parshas Vayikra to tell us that Vayikra is a lashon of chiba. L'chein meram is b'zeh Rashi shebechol inyani korbanos afil be'elu she'odam ki yakriv mikem. All inyanim korbanos, even when literally it's mikem, when the sacrifice comes literally from us, not symbolically from us through the korban, but literally through us, the pains, the suffering, the life itself, the loss of life itself. Right? Shechon yonah korbanos afilu elu be'elu she'odam ki yakriv mikem. He gives of himself literally. Hainu korbanos ha'yisurim. Korbanos ha'yisurim shemin atzmuso makriv. That people sometimes are called upon to give in their lives, neida, shegamkin kriya shel chiba shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi waited till here, till Vayikra, to tell us that in all the forms of korbanos, obviously, right, the ones that are the sacrifices that go upon the altar of the Mizbeach, but not just them, because they just represent, right, the sacrifices that sometimes we're called upon to give, or that are taken chas v'chalil, we shouldn't have to know from it, from us willy-nilly. Those yisurim, those are like korbanos. And there's always a preface to that also, a yikra, loshon chiba. We should remember and remind ourselves of loshon chiba. This is an incredibly exquisite outlook on life. Again, we've gone the full gamut here. We've gone from the people not believing even after they've seen the man and how individually it was tailored for each person. And yet, right, they began to think that maybe we're not worthy, that Hashem should be involved in our personal needs. Only perhaps when Moshe Rabbeinu was leading us, who knows? And here they have Piatesner, watching the sacrifice of so many Jewish lives on the altar of the Warsaw Ghetto. And he says, we have to remember, he ties it through his learning of Torah. He ties it back to Bitachon Vashem. This also is prefaced with Vayikra, Lashon Chiba. Point to ponder. We should stay strong in Torah, and our worldview should remain pure and true. And we should be able to, Hashem should give us the strength to deal with the challenges of life through the lens of the Torah, and be worthy of the legacy that the Piatesner, Hashem Yikom Domo, may Hashem avenge his blood, left for us to learn. Have a good Shabbos. I don't know what will be next week, it'll be Purim. So have an excellent Shabbos. And an exquisite Purim. And Beis Hashem will be again after Purim. If I can send something out next week, I will do my best to try. Okay, be well. Have a good Shabbos.